To welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Our next community meal will be open to the public, and it will be on August 20th here at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. We will be serving from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. The meal will consist of chicken and dumplings, green beans, and cake. So if you're hungry, please join us for good food and good conversation. This morning, we will be blessed with some special music from Georgie and Coons entitled Behold the Lamb, followed by scripture readings from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, and Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 13. Again, this morning's scripture reading will be from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, and Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 13. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. This morning's sermon is entitled Fighting for the Battle of Your Thoughts by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Good morning. Trading My Sorrows is our response song today. It is a very powerful song. I'm sure you've all heard it. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. My best friend sent me the song the other day when I was struggling really bad. It was her way of kind of kicking me in the backside and saying, get back in there for the battle of your thoughts. You have to get back in there for the battle of your thoughts. And it is a powerful song, as is our scriptures, powerful songs. And in this crazy world today, if we do not stay grounded in the word, we will become discouraged and we will despair. I have found recently, it's been no secret, I've mentioned it several times, that I've gone through a deep depression. But the more that I get myself into the Word of God, the more encouraged that I am, the more that I focus on what is good, what is pure, what is noble, what is praiseworthy, and what is excellent, the more that my mood increases. So, you get to listen to a message today that was written first and foremost to me, holding myself accountable for trading my sorrows, my shame, my sickness, and my pain for the joy of the Lord. I am pressed, but I'm not crushed. Have you ever heard the words to a song wrong? I hate it. And then, once you hear it wrong, it gets stuck in your head. Well, I heard the words to the song wrong and almost named the title of this message after the wrong words that I heard. I was going to name it Crushed But Not Abandoned. But that's not what the song says. It says, I am pressed, but I am not crushed. I kept hearing crushed, but not abandoned. And I swore that that's what the song said. And my best friend kept saying, listen again, Angel. Listen again. She's so patient. The song says, I am pressed, but not crushed. Persecuted, not abandoned. I finally heard it right. And I heard Missy's voice in my head saying, see, you're not crushed. And you're not abandoned. All of this babble has a point. Our self-talk is critical. It is vital to who we are and to our good health, to our well-being. How we talk to ourselves is extremely important. If we tell ourselves that there's no hope in everything, that everything is lousy, that I'm bad, that I'm this, that I'm that, and the other thing, well, of course we're going to walk around with our heads hung low. But if we tell ourselves that I am a child of the Most High God, that I am an heir along with the risen King, Jesus Christ, if we tell ourselves that we are worthy, that we are good, that we are blessed beyond measure, then that will change not only how we think about ourselves, but how we think about the world around us. And then when we begin focusing on what is true, what is noble, what is praiseworthy, what is excellent, our spirits are raised up. If all we do is listen to the news and we listen to rape, murder, arson, and we listen to all these things over and over and over again, we're going to be depressed throughout the day. If we get up and watch the news in the morning, we read the newspaper later, maybe we catch part of the news on the radio in the car, and then the last thing we do before we go to bed is we listen to the news again. If that is all that we are taking in, it will crush our spirits. We have to take in the Word of God. We have to take in praise songs. We have to take in what we love and what we value in this world. The song says, first and foremost, the enemy. We have an enemy. We have an enemy that is sole purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he can steal our joy from the Lord, he will do so. We have an enemy that lies to us continually. And the only way to combat those lies is by reading the Word of God. This is what we should believe. We believe what God tells us. We believe what is in this Word. We believe what he tells us about us rather than what the enemy tells us about ourselves. The song goes on to say, struck down but not destroyed. We all have times where we are struck down, pressed in, persecuted, but we are never, ever abandoned by God. The song says, I am blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure and his joy is going to be my strength. For me, I heard it correctly this time. Whatever that curse is, whatever is happening in our life, whatever pain, whatever strain, whatever discomfort, what's going on in this crazy world, whatever that curse is, we are blessed beyond that curse. God woke us up this morning. We have air in our lungs. We have family. We have enough food to eat. We have an amazing country. I know I personally am blessed beyond the curse, because I am blessed more than most in this country, let alone those in other countries. Those in other countries, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that for the average person, I am triply blessed. I've struggled with deep depression, and I've been telling myself that I should not feel that way, that I am blessed far more than what most are, and I am. I have counted my blessings and I have berated myself for not feeling more grateful. Now, counting your blessings does help you to feel more grateful when you actually sit and write out a blessing list. When you're feeling down, get a piece of paper out and write down. Cowboy Ron's nodding because he's the one that's always pushing that. Write that blessing list. What I didn't do was go back to the scriptures. For his promise will endure, and the joy of the Lord is going to be my strength. Now, the joy of the Lord does not mean that everything is A-OK in my life or that I am happy constantly. It simply means that we choose to receive the joy of the Lord. For just like salvation is a free gift, but we have to choose to receive it. The joy of the Lord is a beautiful, priceless gift. The joy of the Lord is a supernatural confidence that God is sovereign, that he is loving, that he is powerful, and that he is for us. And if he is for us, who can be against us? It is the inner understanding granted by the Holy Spirit that no matter what our circumstances are, our condition, our surroundings, God is at work, and he is going to work things out for our good. The next line of the song is straight up scriptural. Though sorrow may last for the night, his joy comes in the morning. The song then returns to, I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Intentionally choosing to lay down sorrow, shame, sickness, and pain. To trade their weight. The weight that cripples us. It is a mind-crippling, body-bending weight. When we hold on to that weight in our spirits all of the time. The supernatural confidence of God's sovereignty, His love, and His powerful presence outweighs our sorrow and our shame. And with complete trust in our Lord Jesus, it can even help us to rise up over sickness and in pain. How many times have you heard those who are struggling with some form of sickness or who people who are in chronic pain tell you that what gets them through is other people's prayers. What gets them through is the joy of the Lord. What gets them through is knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that He is sovereign. That He is for us and that we will not be left alone. With that, you can overcome sickness. With that, you can rise above pain and still have a healthy mind. It requires some work, some mind-alternating work. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. And beloved, that takes work, especially when there are crises and circumstances in your life that make you focus on those things. You have to intentionally tell your mind to switch gears, to shift gears, and to get into the Word of God and to focus on the things that are good. I've been cleaning out cabinets. Spent a lot of time cleaning out cabinets, cleaning out linen closets, throwing away junk, wiping things down, cleaning things up so that I can make room for new things. And it occurred to me that I need to do the same with my mind. To clear out the worrisome old problems by giving them over to God and focusing on what is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, and that, beloved, is praiseworthy. The more I realized that the more than just my house needed a little reorganization, I started telling myself that I was going to have to change. And then the enemy started in on me. I started to feel myself getting tugged into old patterns of thinking, such as complaining, resentment, bitterness, discontentment, anger, frustration, all of the above. I needed some major thought remodeling, a remodeling of the mind. I've been fighting with my thoughts now for several months, and it was time to clean out all the unbiblical patterns of thinking, the lies that the enemy had told me, my sorrows and my shame. We have to refresh our mind with biblical, godly thoughts. We have to intentionally choose the right patterns of thinking. Thinking that will help us grow closer to God and thinking that will help us to do His will. See, if I leave it empty, I will fill it up with clutter. If I leave my mind empty, I'll fill it up with clutter just like what happens in my house. As soon as I get a drawer or a shelf cleaned off, if I don't intentionally designate it for something else, I start throwing things in there when I'm busy and when I'm in a hurry, and it's filled up with junk. Sometimes in as little as a month, I've got it filled up with junk again. When I cleaned out my junk drawer, I put it in a big garbage bag. I wiped it out. I kept going on with the things that I was doing. But I intentionally put all that junk in a big garbage bag, so that I could take and dump it out and get rid of all that junk. Well, what good does it do if I finally get rid of all of the junk and I leave my mind empty and vulnerable to attack. Romans 12:2, the New Living Translation says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think." Scripture tells me that only God can transform my mind, yet God expects us to do our part with Him. If I constantly focus on my sorrows, my shame, my sickness, and my pain, rather than on what is true, pure, lovely, and praiseworthy, I will be miserable. Guaranteed. You don't have to do it. I've already done it for you, and you will end up miserable. So now what do we do when our minds have now been cleaned out and the space is empty? Our minds are not like the extra shelves in the linen closet. Once our minds have been cleansed and renewed, it is important that we fill them with Scripture. For Jesus even tells us, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it roams around the desert looking for rest. When it finds none, it will return to the person it came from. It returns and finds its former home has been swept clean and is in order. And then the spirit finds seven others more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there, so that the person is worse off than before. Luke 11:24-26. Philippians 4:8 tells us that we have to change our thought lives, that the list of things that we need to focus on begins with whatever is true. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." In this verse, Jesus is praying, and He defines truth as God's word. The best thing that we can replace that old, unbiblical thinking with is the word of God. John 1 calls Jesus the word. Jesus names Himself as the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. We cannot go wrong thought remodeling when our thoughts are focused on Jesus. Lift our eyes up to His beautiful face. Whatever is honorable. The Greek word used for honorable here is semenos. It translates as worthy of awe and majesty. As worthy of awe and majesty. A character that deserves high respect or great esteem. Beloved, we have lost our awe, our reverence, our majesty for our utmost high God. We have lost, in this country, we have lost the awe for Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, and hopefully our best friend. And beloved, when I think of all the times that I have seen the Holy Spirit work, I cannot but think of majesty. I cannot but be touched deep within me by His awe-inspiring ways that the Holy Spirit works within us. I think part of what's wrong with this country is we have lost that awe, that reverence, which is a word for fear often used in the Bible. The fear of God is that reverence. Whatever is just. Just as in the eyes of God, or righteous. It is the same word that refers to Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, in Matthew 1:19. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. It is also the description of Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist. In Luke, both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame, according to all the commands and the requirements of the Lord. Whatever is pure. Purity throughout the Bible is equated to innocence and to a state of being uncontaminated. The Greek word is the same one that is used in the phrase free from sin in 1 Timothy 5:22. Do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily and thereby share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourself free from sin. Thoughts of things and people who are free from sin and pure inside and out. Those are great additions to your thought life. Whatever is lovely. I like lovely things. Beautiful flowers. Picturesque landscapes. Works of art by all the masters. However, this Greek word implies more than pretty to look at. It also means worthy of affection or something that is dearly prized. Interestingly, this is the only place in the Bible where this Greek word, prosphilesis, is used, or something like that. It's close. Whatever is commendable. Commendable in this case is something that is of good reputation. Good things have been reported on it, and it is worthy of admiration. In the letter to the Philippians, Paul is speaking to the church. Therefore, this good reputation is not by the world's standards, but by the standards of Christ followers. Moral excellence. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. The Greek word, arete, meaning moral excellence or virtue, is the same word used in 1 Peter to denote the excellencies of God. God's virtues are endless and provide amazing fodder for our thought lives. In fact, according to 1 Peter, we are to proclaim God's excellencies. And how can we begin to proclaim God's excellencies if we have not even thought upon them? Praiseworthy. Worthy of praise. This is the same word that is used in the Bible to refer to praising God or acknowledging certain people. But it is also the word that is used in Ephesians 1:11 through 14. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are first to hope in Christ might be to praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, believed in him, and were seated with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Dwell. Dwell is to take up residence in, or to live in these types of thoughts. We should be living every day in a remodeled room of our minds, refurnished with thoughts described in Philippians 4:8. Thought remodeling changes the atmosphere, not only of our minds, but it begins to change the atmosphere around us. And when we change our thoughts, we begin to change the atmosphere around us. It creates a Christ-centered life. Once we begin this battle for our minds, we find that through Christ, we can indeed be content in every circumstance, as the scripture says. And daily we come to believe more and more, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And then, when things get really tough, when real tough things are happening to us, we cling to 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. 2 Corinthians 4:17 reminds us that these troubles and sufferings are all quite small and won't last very long in the grand scheme of things, yet this short time of distress will often result in some of God's richest blessings. Times of anguish can transform us if we push away self-pity and put our energy into the longing for God. In 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, we find a good reminder to keep on fighting the good fight for the battle of our thoughts. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all, so that we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is temporary, but is what is unseen, is eternal. So as I finished cleaning up my cabinets and my closets, I renewed my mind by listening to preaching from other pastors and listening to devotions. And at night, I began reading spiritually edifying materials, and I discovered that I was calmer and yet more passionate than I had been in months. I learned that no matter what life throws at you, you and Christ will be able to handle it. If we take every thought captive to Christ, we really can do all things through Him who strengthens us. Join me, remain seated, but join me in singing, Trading My Sorrows.